racing to the first tee, knowing what fun it will be. Soon the starter will call me to the first tee.
Welcome to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. I'm Bob Bubka, here with Jay Randolph Jr. You probably know him a lot better as STL Golf Geek on Twitter. Well, Jay, every week I say unbelievable. Well, this week, no different. It's unbelievable that the 2018-2019 season is complete, obviously except for the playoffs on the PGA Tour. We knew this year would be different, Jay, but wow, it's hard to believe that 43 events on the regular schedule are over and done with.
Well, and to a certain extent, Bob, what's even harder to believe is 6 weeks from now, they're going to be a bunch of guys at the Greenbrier in White Sulphur Springs, West Virginia, starting the next season. It really is. I don't know whether we had just become so accustomed, you and myself and so many golf fans, to the calendar year being the end of the year. And then we had this transition a couple of years ago. And now with the movement of the playoffs to being done before professional football and college football, you know, it's quick. We told people the week of the Players. I mean, this thing is coming. I mean, we're going to go Players, Masters, PGA, U.S. Open, British, and you know, get ready. It's going to happen quick, and it sure did.
I don't know about you, Jay, but I thoroughly enjoyed it when there was a little bit of a break, maybe October, November, December. We show up the 1st of January. It's the first event of the year. It was the winners only. We were going to Maui. I mean, it just seemed to be a lot more excitement at the onset than there is now. Now it's more of a continuous loop.
Yeah, you really have to be a golf fan like you or myself, because you're going to see some names that, you know, we didn't know much about Cameron Champ last year. At least we've gotten a little taste of some of the Matthew Wolfs and the Morikawas and Victor Hovland. But you're right, Bob, and they were even trimming some of the fat. But then this guy Tiger Woods came along, and he changed everything. And now they got dough. They got... People want to have events in October that really don't mean much, or there's spots on the schedule that they want to keep, like Vegas, which has never been a big event. I mean, it was for a little bit when it was the only place giving away $1 million, but it's all changed. And I always promised myself as I got older, I wouldn't be that guy that talked about the old days and all changed, and I fight it now every day.
Well, you're not getting old. You're just fighting the old days. Until you get to my category, you have no basis for saying anything about being old. Trust me on that one. Well, another first-time winner on tour, JT Poston. And in 1 week, he doubles his salary that he made, or doubled his earnings, I should say, to be more accurate, than he did the entire season. Incredible stuff.
Well, and we've talked, this isn't the most first-time winners that we've ever had, but it sure seems like when you look at the quality dating back to last year and the start of the season, and throughout the year with the players that have won, and especially recently, it's a strong contingent, it seems like. You know, this guy, JT Poston, it takes guys a little longer than some others. Even in this day and age where we see him busting out of college so good, he got a little seasoning on the web.com tour, fought to keep his card. And he had the right week, Bob, as you said, doubling his season earnings and changing his life.
Well, let me slap you on the wrist a little bit. Corn Ferry, Corn Ferry, Corn Ferry.
I got you.
The memo just came in. Memo just came in from Ponte Vedra. That's the only reason I say that. Anyway, let's play JT Poston. And then I got a couple of things interesting about JT Poston that I want to talk to you about. Here is last week's winner.
Yeah, it feels unbelievable. I mean, a dream come true. You know, I've always dreamt that I could win out here, and I felt like I had kind of proved that, given myself some chances over the years. But to be able to do it here in North Carolina with lot of friends and family, and I don't think I could have drawn it up any better. It's always a dream, I would say, since before I was in college, probably since I was a young kid. I mean, I can remember watching Tiger win the Masters in 97. I was only probably 4 or 5 years old at the time, but I can remember watching it and thinking to myself, I want to be that guy. That looks really cool. For some reason, all week, I felt calm. I never, there were definitely some nerves and some pressure shots throughout the week and especially today, but I tried to tell myself that I had been in these types of situations and felt these kinds of nerves in college and just tried to keep doing what I was doing. I was hitting it good and giving myself a lot of looks, and the putter was really solid.
Well, I guess you need a solid putter in order to win. A couple of things, Jay, I want to get your take on. Number one, to play bogey-free for 72 holes doesn't sound that impressive until you put the tagline on there. It hadn't been done since 74 when Trevino accomplished that feat. I mean, that's pretty remarkable to go 72 holes without one bogey, and this guy does it maybe 100 miles from his home. I mean, it's almost like a Hollywood script.
It is incredible when you take in the fact that this had not occurred since 1974. And we talk about the technology and equipment and the numbers they're shooting, but yet nobody had played 72 holes bogey-free. And I'll tell you, Bob, you mentioned the putting. On that Sunday, with the heat on him, trying to break through, he made probably 5 or 6, I'd say 4 to 7 footers for par. And that's just strong. And he was really good with his iron play. I mean, you know, low round of the, or ties for the low round on Sunday. You know, he really put the icing on the cake with that final round 62 and making some key putts.
Yeah, and he credited his grandfather for having a big impact on his golf development. Grandfather actually played some high-level amateur golf, got him to play with in front of friends and family.
Yep.
So just a nice win. He seems like a nice guy. I have yet to meet him. Of course, we will hook up. When we get to Maui, he'll be playing in the winners-only event by Century at Maui. And by the way, the Kapalua Golf Course was completely shut down immediately following last year's championship, and all the reports coming in from Mark Rolfing, Debbie Rolfing, Ben Hongo, the teaching pro at the academy, say the improvements are fantastic, new grasses, and it's going to be completely ready for competition when we get there in November.
Well, and another thing is, as you pointed out, I mean, we saw Shane Lowry, and obviously a different type of tournament, a different kind of prestige, but to win your first tournament in North Carolina, I've been to Hickory, North Carolina. It's about 100 miles from Greensboro. The rebel flag still flies a lot of places in Hickory, North Carolina, and a lot of good old boys, but a lot of good golfers too. I know a lot of good sticks from Hickory, North Carolina, to win in Greensboro. I mean, that just, like you said, Bob, Hollywood story, and to hold off Webb Simpson, who again seems to own Sedgefield. They might as well make him an honorary member, the former Wake Forest Deacon and U.S. Open champion. He just loves Sedgefield, and this guy's moved up to like 13th in the FedEx Cup or something.
Yeah, pretty remarkable. And if anybody thinks I don't love Maui, I just said they're going to hold that event in November when I met January. But maybe just a little wishful thinking on my part. It really is an amazing event to go to. I mean, it's only going to be about 30 players. You have complete access to to every one of the players, the media room. We could, you know, probably hold in a phone booth, but you know, still a great event. You made a great point,
Bob.
Yep,
Bob. I've said before, if you have the wherewithal and are a PGA Tour fan, other than a major championship, that would be the golf tournament to attend. I mean, it's no, you know, it's pricey, but it's worth it. It's an amazing place. You can get as close to the players as any stop on tour, and they're a little bit more relaxed out there. And as you guys know, it's about as good as it gets.
It really is. As a matter of fact, you'll have a hard time. If you come, you'll have a hard time trying to convince yourself that it's not a Hollywood set you're looking at. It's the real deal between the ocean and the trees, and just everything about Maui is very, very special. As you mentioned already, Webb Simpson, another strong finish, earned $600,000 in the event, earned $550,000 for the Wyndham Challenge. I mean, a pretty nice payday, but he does have five kids, so it's going in the right direction. Ben Ahn, we have to feel a little pain for, had no bogeys all week until that final stretch on Sunday, and then started to go a little sideways.
It looked like, I mean, and that would have made things even more staggering with that stat that you mentioned about the Mary Mex dating back to 74. We had a shot for two guys, truly, to go bogey-free. But as you mentioned, a little bump in the road for Ben Ahn. Victor Hovland charging. He needed to finish first or second to get inside the top 20, 125 to secure his card. I mean, he's played great recently. He almost made it, but now he'll go into the finals of the Corn Ferry Tour, where the top 25 in their season finale of events will earn cards along with the 25 from their money list. So, I mean, if it's not next year, it's going to be real soon. We're going to see a lot of Victor Hovland. And no matter what, he'll get a bunch of sponsors' exemptions.
And I want to just say one thing, and I'm going out on a limb here, but after watching Wolf and after watching Morikawa and J.D. Poston, I think Victor Hovland, at the end of his career, is going to have more wins than any one of those other three guys. There's a combination with Victor that I really admire, and I know you do, too, from the days when you were quite a stick yourself, Jay. I mean, he is fearless aggressive. Fearless and aggressive is what it takes nowadays to win on the PGA Tour.
He's got a lot of ROM in him. He's raw at times. And, you know, I mean, you again forget how young he is and how young all these guys are. I think you're probably right, Bob. If you ask instructors or high-level players who they think in the end, if you threw those three, Wolf, Morikawa, and Victor Hovland in, Hovland will end up with the best career, but that's the beauty of it. That's the difference. These guys don't get drafted. They don't sign signing bonuses, except maybe with their manufacturers or through their agents for minimal amounts as compared to other sports. I mean, that's the one great thing about our game. You got to earn it.
Well, they earned a lot playing in the Wyndham Championship. The Wyndham Rewards money, $10 million split by the top 10 players on the FedEx Cup point list. I can't come up with the right phrase, but it's almost like a carnival for these PGA Tour players, where they go from booth A and pick up a million, then stop over at booth C, we got another $2 million for you. Here's to illustrate my point, Jay. Back in 1975, everybody that played on the PGA Tour, every penny they earned, I'm talking about the entire tour, would have earned $2 million less than the winner of the FedEx Cup playoffs. $2 million less, and that was everybody that was on the PGA Tour. When I found that out, I said, good golly, Miss Molly, which I love saying anyway, but that is quite a stat as far as I'm concerned.
Well, I mean, the way they even talked about the Wyndham Rewards, they were almost embarrassed to even talk about it. It's this thing that they created to give out some more money for the regular season. And, I mean, it's just, it's like butter smothered in butter smothered in butter. It's just, I mean, they don't even know what to do with the money. Let's create the Wyndham Rewards. I mean, it's just wild.
Yeah, and that allows you to upgrade from a regular room to a suite anytime you want it.
Yes.
Some big-time players lost their card, though, Jay. Certainly none bigger than two-time major winner Martin Keimer. Other major winners, I see Jason Duffner on that list.
Yeah.
And the one that hurts me is Bill Haas. And you have documented really well over the year, ever since that tragedy where he was in that car wreck, where the place he was staying, the owner of the home got killed. Really, Bill hasn't been the same since.
No, he hasn't. Now, as I've mentioned, and he showed a little bit right off the bat at Sedgefield, he's working his way back, and I think it's taken maybe a little longer than expected. You know, when you, for folks that don't know, Bill really didn't even know the gentleman that well, was staying at his house, but that may even, in a sense, have made it tougher to understand what occurred in that tragic accident. And then you've got a guy, Bob, that it wouldn't have surprised if we'd been talking in the same vein as a Matthew Wolf or a Colin Morikawa or a Victor Hovland, Bo Hostler, who, you know, I don't want to seems lost out there because, you know, he still shows up and has good rounds. It just is an indication when we talk about these players and Peter Uihlein, another one that we had high hopes for after toiling around in Europe and then coming back and starting to have success in the U.S., it just shows you how tough it is, especially when you got the new studs coming out each year.
Absolutely right, Jay. And really root for Bo Hostler, UT graduate, good guy, gotten to know him fairly well over the years. Does have a wealth of talent. Fully expect him to be back. Little surprise, Zach Johnson is going to miss the FedEx Cup playoffs for the first time, finishing 154th in the FedEx Cup. Time now for a short break, and when we return, we'll take a look at what Paul Casey said about Brooks Koepka. He's like Tiger when Tiger was Tiger. Never thought anybody would say that, but that's what Casey's saying, and we'll preview the first playoff event, the Northern Trust.
You're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. We're heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, where you can just ask your smart speaker Alexa, and you will be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Welcome back to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay. Great to have you with us as we're set for the FedEx playoffs, the PGA Tour playoffs for the FedEx Cup. Let me get it exactly right. I'm Jay, Jay Jr. You can find me on Twitter, STL Golf Geek, and you can find Bob Bubka, Bob Bubka, V-O-G, and don't you dare forget that V-O-G stands for the voice of golf. Well, Bob, the player of the year, I think, is pretty much done, and that's Brooks Koepka. He's ranked number one in the world. Thank goodness, because I know he needed the money. Won the Wyndham Rewards top 10 for a $2 million payday. The Aon Risk Reward Challenge for $1 million payday. What is the Aon Risk Reward Challenge? Any idea?
I have no idea. in my day, did anything like that, they told me I was skating on thin ice, but I don't
think
that's
exactly right. There was more of a risk than a reward.
Exactly.
So you wonder now, and you know, you can't, it's not baseball, it's not basketball. You don't necessarily play for this moment. However, there's a lot at stake, a lot of good golf courses. Is he likely to be the guy that walks away with the $15 million?
Well, certainly the way he plays, you would say that. I don't think there's anybody playing the game right now that's playing it any more efficiently than Brooks Koepka. You know, he seems to possess all the tools that he needs in that golf bag to get the job done. I mean, you just look at him. He's strong, so if he's in the rough, really not a problem. He's long, so he's able to hit, you know, wedges where other guys probably need a 6 or 7 iron. He is good with the wedge, so he does get it close enough to the hole and then has the ultimate confidence level in his putter. I mean, when you put those ingredients together, I mean, it only spits out one thing, and that's winning.
No, and there's no doubt. And you know, the people have talked about him only being a major championship winner. Obviously, he changed that a couple of weeks ago. He's first. Rory is second. Mr. Consistency Kuchar is third. Xander Schauffele is fourth. And Gary Woodland, with his gigantic year, is fifth. Right now, as we head into the playoffs with the changes, now down to just 3 events, Bob, instead of the 4 that we used to have.
Yeah, and I think that's a good change. I mean, 3 is plenty. They'll play the Northern Trust. The field will get cut down to the low 70, as you know, Jay. Then they'll go to the BMW Championship and top 30 from there. Go down to East Lake to the scene of Tiger's victory a year ago. And, you know, when you look at Tiger's wins this season, as remarkable as they are, because at the start of the year, if you were being, you know, conservative, you certainly would take the position that probably Tiger's not going to win, but he does win twice. But both... almost a perfect storm, both limited field events. I mean, the Tour Championship, only 30 players, and the Masters, maybe 90 players, of which 50 have no chance. So, you know, things came in the right place for Tiger. Can we see any more victories out of Tiger? I don't know, Jay. You know, the talent is getting so deep, and the intimidation factor, you know, Victor Hovland is not intimidated by Tiger Woods because he never had to go against Tiger and when Tiger was in his heyday.
No, they don't understand what we saw and those guys dealt with, and he doesn't play that way anymore on a regular basis. But, Bob, if he does win one of these 3 events, that will give him 3 wins in a year, including a major and 2 FedEx playoff events, one being the Tour Championship. So I'm not saying to look for that. We've had no indication other than a little bit more time off. So I don't know. He's in a featured pairing. We talked about JT Poston earlier. JT Poston, welcome to the big boy club. Welcome to the new pairings. He's going to be paired with Scott Piercy and Tiger Woods. But I, you know, there's that added when Tiger said, hey, I'm going to play in all 3. Now, again, I think he's 27th or 28th, so he hasn't locked up his spot for all 3, but he said he's committed if he qualifies for all 3 to play in them. Just, so,
I was going to say, Jay, in listening to you recount what Tiger did last year, you know, a Tour Championship, a World Golf Championship event, a major, I mean, that's almost a successful career for anybody else. And Tiger accomplished that at 43. And shame on us for minimizing it to any extent, because in reality, it's quite remarkable.
I thought about it before the show. Honestly, Bob, I said to myself, you know, if this sucker wins one of these 3, that's 3 in a year. And granted, it's not the calendar year, but we don't go by calendar year anymore in this game. So you know, he's a fascinating, he may be a little bit more fascinating now in a sense, because there's more mystery to whether he's able to do this or what we're going to see or what he's going to be like, because we always knew for the most part we were going to get it. We were going to get it strong. So it's going to be interesting to see how he does in these FedEx Cup playoffs. Some other guys, Bob, that I didn't mention in that top five that I think the three events will be very interesting for. Rahm, who we referenced earlier in the show. Dustin Johnson, who, I mean, is still a threat to run off and play well. And then a guy like Patrick Cantlay. I mean, if a guy like Cantlay wins two of these three events, depending on how things all fall in the end, he could be the FedEx Cup champion.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, Cantley's got a wealth of talent and just waiting for him to break through. Congratulations to Gary Woodland, I believe twins into the family.
Yes.
But you know, something is creeping into my brain, and, you know, there's a lot of room for it to creep in there. I guarantee you that. But I got this strange feeling that Gary Woodland is destined to be a Duffner, a Jimmy Walker, a one-time major winner. And I don't know why, but maybe it's just because there's so many good ones right now that, you know, that window of opportunity for Gary Woodland, maybe I'm wrong. Maybe he'll win all four majors next year. I would love that. I mean, he's a great guy. I like him, and he's good with the media. But somehow, it's like, to me, he's gotten to the mountaintop, and, you know, he's resting a little.
You know, Bob, you could make a case that three of the four major championship winners this year will not win another major again. Tiger Woods, Shane Lowry, and Gary Woodland. Now, that's no slight on any of the three. It's a combination of things. And hell, Koepka may not win another major. I mean, it's that tough. There's only four of them. People that don't follow it or play the game may not understand the importance we put on it. And I understand that. I get tired of seeing the LPGA with five or the champions with five. I just don't get that. You know, I'm a traditionalist, and that's the, you know, the way it should be. I think it should be at four. But, I mean, you're right. Now, having said that, Gary Woodland may ride a wave and all of a sudden show up at Augusta where he's got that length and be a factor there. That's the beauty of what we've got going on now. A amount of uncertainty of who's going to be right that week. JT Poston was right last week. I mean, maybe it'll be Scott Piercy this week. Maybe Mark Leishman, who I thought was going to play brilliant at the British Open off the Scottish Open, he faltered, and then he played well in Memphis. So it's tough. Another guy, Bob, that I think it's interesting to see how he finishes this year, and presently he's 13th, I believe. Oh, no, he may have even moved a little further down. Ricky Fowler. You wonder a little bit about, you know, Ricky and he's 13th right now, but you know, you talk about the hourglass ticking a little bit. I mean, this is still a young guy, but you know, every time a major clicks by, it's tough.
No, you're right about that. And my thoughts on Ricky Fowler is, you know, the popular saying is, you know, you keep busting on that door and 1 week it's going to open. But by the same token, the more you attempt to bust open that door and it does not open, it takes a little out of you. And pretty soon you're not hitting that door with the gusto that you did previously. I don't know where Ricky Fowler is exactly, but he could very well be on the decline of chances to win a major because he was, you know, primed and ready to do it for so long. I feel very strongly that Tommy Fleetwood's going to win a major. I also am a big Bryson DeChambeau backup for a major. And when I keep saying these names, it illustrates the point that Jay Randolph Jr. made when he told us correctly there are only four opportunities. And if you got so many guys that can win and there are only four chances, boy, that's why winning a major is such a big deal.
Well, that's what I used to tell people when I did sports radio. I mean, you know, they complain and they moan about a team that might be in second or make the playoffs and not get it done. There's only one parade, brother. I mean, it's tough. It's limited. And that's why we're seeing so many guys pop up, play well certain weeks. And that's why the playoffs are going to be very interesting, because if a guy catches heat, let's say Rory McIlroy gets going. I mean, not that he's not going now, but I mean, let's say he kicks it up a notch. He's second. He's the closest to Brooks Koepka.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think there's something left in the tank of Justin Rose. Certainly some stuff in the tank for JT Thomas. I mean, that guy's got a wealth of talent.
Yep.
And now suddenly in the pool with him of eligible qualified players to win, I mean, that pool's getting pretty crowded.
No question. There's no doubt about it. I think that, you know, it's interesting how guys are going to deal with that when they have, I mean, Justin Thomas at the start of the year, if we'd have told you he'd been 17 in the FedEx Cup points, you'd have probably said, nah, I don't think so. You guys are missing out. He's a top 10 guy for sure. But, you know, a lot of guys, you know, and it's not necessarily, Bob, that they're playing poorly. They're just other guys playing better.
Well, you said missing out, and that's something that I would hope every golfer tries to avoid, because now we're going to hear how you can play at Jay's course when you're in the St. Louis area. It's the Normandy Golf Club, the oldest public club west of the Mississippi. You're in for a treat.
And when we return, we'll hear from Alex Maselli, the founder of MorningRead.com and a longtime In the Know, I didn't write that, In the Know golf journalist. We'll get his take on these young, fresh out of college guys winning and making their mark on the PGA Tour like nobody else can. Alex Maselli next, as you're listening to In the Grill Room with Bob and Jay, heard on KTRS, the Big 550 in St. Louis, the Armed Forces Radio Network, iTunes, Audio Boom, Spreaker, Spotify, iHeartRadio, or you can just ask your smart speaker, Alexa, and you'll be connected.
Situated in central St. Louis resides the oldest public golf course west of the Mississippi, Normandy Golf Club. Opened in 1901 and designed by the renowned Fowlis Brothers of Scotland, this old gem has played host to Babe Ruth, Mickey Rooney, and the great Babe Zaharias. History lives and breathes at The Rock, as Normandy is affectionately known. A mixture of long and short holes in a tree-lined atmosphere challenge golfers of all skill levels. The 18th hole at Normandy, well, it's as tough a par 3 as you'll find, measuring 251 yards from the back tee. In 2015, a renewed commitment was made to this unique property under the direction of Walters Golf Management. Affordable rates and top-notch service is what you'll find at Normandy Golf Club. If your travels bring you to St. Louis, make sure to make a tee time at The Rock. To learn more, check out normandygolf.com or call 314-862-4884 and enjoy old-school golf at its finest.
Tough man to track down, but we did it. It's Alex Maselli, founder and publisher of Morning Read, in transit to a unknown location, but we'll leave that a little bit of a secret. Good to talk to you again, Alex. Haven't spoken to you since Royal Port Rush, the great win of Shane Lowry. Any afterthoughts on that victory?
Just that the Irish celebrate better than most people, I believe.
Well, I think they do a pretty good job of doing that. We were talking yesterday about the, you know, how many first-time winners there are on the tour this year, 14 to be exact. And you brought up a good point in that because of a couple of players not playing at the level that they used to, there really is more opportunities for first-time winners.
Well, I think that's true. I think, first of all, the fact that, you know, when you had the dominance by Tiger and Phil, that dominance alone, and actually you could add other players to that in some sense. Sometimes it would be Davis Love had a, or would have a really good year, but the bottom line was when you had guys are winning four or five times, and sometimes two of them, Rory McIlroy or something like that, then all of a sudden there's, you know, the opportunities for wins by other people are lesser. And I think now what's happening is we're also in this kind of transition phase of all these new players, younger players getting on the tour, getting opportunities. I mean, the fact that you had two players that don't even have tour cards winning on the PGA Tour in the last month, I mean, that in itself is kind of crazy, because normally that would be a hard thing to do. I mean, you might be able to get your card being somebody that didn't have a card to begin with, you know, coming out of college, but you certainly weren't suggesting they were going to win. I mean, most people, Bryson DeChambeau, Jordan Spieth, Bill Haas, I could go through the litany of them, ended up having to go and play in the playoffs at the Korn Ferry Tour or had to go to Q School to get their card. Now these guys are coming out and getting it taken care of right away. And Victor Hovland is kind of unlucky, but if he would have gotten all the points he deserved when he was playing professional events this year when he was an amateur before he turned, he would have earned enough points to get his card as well. So it just shows you that a lot of these young guys that are coming out now, outside of the fact of no fear, they're just like really good.
Joining us in the Grow Room with Bob and Jay is Alex Maselli, as I said, founder and publisher of Morning Read. Also, Alex, I detect almost a different attitude with the guys coming out of college. Almost seems to me that they made a decision. They're not going to go through the learning process. Let's just go for the winner's circle. And they do it with such confidence and an apparent lack of fear.
Well, I think there's a couple things with that. I mean, I agree with you wholeheartedly, but I think there's a couple things with that. One is that the time that they have in college, even though it might be limited, they learn a lot. They get exposed to a lot. The equipment now, they're fitted perfectly. You know, it's not like before, you really wouldn't get good equipment unless you were out on the PGA Tour. That's not the case now. These guys have everything they need before they get there. They're very comfortable with their equipment before they get out on tour. Then you have the fact that you see the PGA Tour on television every week, and the Korn Ferry Tour, and the European Tour, and the Challenge Tour, and these guys are exposed to so much more golf now than they would have been in the past. I mean, I remember back in the day, which don't laugh at me, but you know, I used to run track at high school, and what we wouldn't see any track meets on television, for God's sake. The only time we would learn anything about what was going on in track and field was when we'd get the track and field magazine, and that's how we learned what was going on the East Coast, because we were on the West Coast. I mean, that, think about it from back then in the 70s, and look where we are today, where you get to experience everything, and if you missed it, that's not a problem. You just go on your phone or your iPad and pull it up on video or whatever it is. I mean, you learn so much more by watching other people play. And, you know, the learning curve now is so much shorter for these guys because they have so much more information at their fingertips. And then, of course, like I said, they're fitted. They have all the information about their swing. There's nothing they don't know when they get on the PGA Tour. So the fear level, that fear factor that they may have had back in the past is no longer there.
Oh, good point. And since I'm a strong proponent of truth in journalism, I do have to admit I did laugh when you made that track reference.
Before, well, I just hope a snicker.
Yeah. Before we let you go, Alex, we've had the shortened season, the condensed majors. Your overall take of the prototype or the game plan that the PGA Tour has in place now, good, bad, or indifferent?
Oh, I think beyond good. I think terrific, actually. This is exactly what all of us that have been involved in the game for a while have talked about. It was just the fact that the PGA Tour was unwilling to give up and they're still not really giving up the dates, but they were unwilling to succumb to the fact that maybe they needed to be their best events or their highest quality event, however you want to look at it, needs to be out of the way before football season started, which is the FedEx Cup playoffs. But finally, They got it, and they did what they needed to do to make it work. And I think from the Players Championship in March until, you know, what we had at Port Rush, I mean, it was exciting. I mean, there was a lot going on, and that's a season. That was the season. The rest of the stuff, you know, as Bert Skepta would say, you know, I don't get prepared for the other stuff. I want to be prepared for the season, and those five events are the season to him. I mean, I'm sure that he probably cares a little bit about the FedEx Cup playoffs, but the bottom line is that is the first time that I can remember that we really had a season that you could really sink your teeth into, and I think it's a good decision to move it the way they have over this year, and I'm looking forward to next year.
Yeah, and I hope it whets the appetite of golf fans everywhere, giving them basically something to look forward to. I know you're looking forward to a little relaxation. Travel well, my friend. Get some rest, and we'll talk to you in the grill room soon. Thanks, Alex.
Well, now you're up to date on what's going on around the world of golf. That's it for this week.
Thanks for spending some time in the grill room. No need to leave a tip. Just come back again next week. The Grill Room.